Good morning, everybody. I want to welcome everybody to the Crossings Church. My name's Jake. I am normally the campus minister here at the Crossings, but over the last few weeks, I've been stepping in a couple times to preach, and I guess I didn't do a bad enough job last time, so they made me come back and do it again. So I'm going to really mess this one up today so I can just stick to campus stuff. No. We're so happy that you guys are here. You know, like Wes said, that we're a young church. We're a newer church. We've been in this area a little over a year now. We came over from the Missouri area with only about 20, 25 people. And you're sitting in the midst of what we've been able to accomplish in a year, what God's been able to accomplish through the hearts of his servants in a year. And it's really cool to know that you're a part of that beginning step and you're part of that beginning process. If you're visiting with us today, that's what you've walked into today. And we're very excited that you guys are here. If you guys want to, there's a couple of announcements and some things that are coming up on the back of your bulletins. If you guys want to look at those real quick before we jump to our lesson, we do have a banquet coming up, a New Year's banquet. And so what we do at our church is at the beginning of every year, we like to have a theme set in place for our church for the following year. What we're going to really work on, the things that we're going to focus on. This year, our theme was rooted, and we actually went through some curriculum about rooted in our small groups to just kind of really get rooted in God's Word, really sink into God's Word and have Him transform and change our lives. And for a lot of us that went through that rooted experience, it was very transformational. It was a really awesome opportunity to just sink into God's Word and to be around and surround ourselves around God's people and to get blessings because of that. And so at this banquet, it's kind of a celebration to look back at this last year. This will be a special year for us since it's our first kind of complete year over here in Collinsville to see, you know, what have we accomplished, what good things do we have, and what are we going to be looking forward to in the future. And so if you guys want to know about that, if you guys want to attend that, we encourage you guys to come to that. It's going to be out in Edwardsville. We rented a American Legion out there in Edwardsville. And so we're inviting everyone to come out to that. We really hope that you guys will want to come and participate, spend some time with us, and just kind of get a view of a vision for the future. Also, we have a family vacation coming up for our campus ministry. If you've been to this before, it's one of the best times for college kids. What we do is we usually go to Florida, but since the hurricane hits down there this year, we chose to bring it to the Ozarks this year. And this is actually a special year for our campus ministry to have a retreat because it's called Generations this year. And it's actually the 10th anniversary of us doing this as campus ministries. We have a lot of different local campus ministries and ones far off in Oklahoma and Florida and all these different places that they bring their campus ministries to. And this year is a special one because it's our 10-year anniversary. And what we're doing this year is we're inviting anyone who has been a part of campus ministry, who has been served through campus ministry, has been reached through campus ministry. If you've had any interaction with campus ministry in your relationship with God, we're inviting you to come down to this retreat. And so it's going to be a cool year because it's not just going to be college kids, but it's going to be adults and people who have been through college ministry, you know, 10, 20 years ago and looking at their lives today because of what they chose to do in campus ministry. And it's going to be an awesome opportunity. You know, my wife and I are going to be going since we do the campus ministry stuff, but it's going to be cool because her mom's going to be there too. And for me, it's really cool to see that there's generations of campus ministry people. And because of some of the things that my wife's mom did in campus ministry, it turned out to be the awesome woman that she is today. And it's just really cool to see that that's going to be the dynamic that we have set up this year. So I'm really excited about that. We just started advertising this, so it's not too late to sign up. So like I said, if you're in college, if you're not in college, but you've been a part of college, you know, please come, you know, sign up, talk to somebody, and we'll make sure you guys get connected to that. And then we'll be having some more talks soon about these Connection Sundays. While we're in the Ozarks, we're not going to have a church service here because the majority of us will probably be there. So we're going to have Connection Sundays within our houses. We'll have small group meetings, kind of like what the Bible did. You know, the disciples, they didn't always meet in these big, huge buildings, but they would usually meet in small groups within their homes. And we're going to spend some weeks on that while we're away. And so we have a lot of cool things coming up with our church, and we just want to make sure that you guys knew about those things and that you guys were invited to those things. So let's jump into our lesson today, all right? We're starting a new series called Christmas Reimagined. And last week, we kind of gave an overview of what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks in this Christmas theme. And the whole theme of this Christmas being reimagined is the idea of being lost and then being found. And when you look into the Bible, you see the story of Jesus is all about finding lost people. The verse that it has up at the top of your bulletins, and if you guys want to pull that out as well, there's some notes that you guys can follow along with the little sheep up top. But, you know, the very first verse there, it says, "The Son of Man came to find lost people and to save them." And that's really what we're trying to focus on with this series, is just the idea that there are people that are lost. There are people on this earth that are lost. And Jesus came to save those people. He came to be in their lives, and he came to make sure they realized that they didn't have to feel lost anymore. And so this whole theme of this the sermon series we're going through is just to try to identify what it looks like to be lost, how you can get found, and then how to approach the lost once you've been found. And so today we're going to look at, you know, we're going to look at the passage of Luke 15. And if you look at Luke 15, there's three different types of lost people. You know, in a couple weeks we're going to talk about the prodigal son and how the prodigal son was lost and how he was lost due to rebellion. And then next Sunday we're going to talk about the lost coin that was it was lost due to like negligence and just not being taken care of. And today we're going to talk about the lost sheep. And the lost sheep is kind of it's kind of different in a circumstance of what the lost sheep is, because the lost sheep is lost due to its nature. You know, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is just the idea about the lost sheep and some three truths and consequences that lost sheep need to understand because of the nature of a sheep. You know, it's not that they've done it on their own behalf. It's not a product of their environment, but it's just the nature of sheep, and that's what they are. For example, like a sick, you know, somebody who's sick and they're in the hospital and things like that, they can't really change certain things because it's just the nature of where they're at. It's not necessarily a bad or good. It's just the nature of the circumstance. And there's circumstances that sheep are in, whether they like it or not. It's just the nature of sheep. And that's what the Bible is really trying to get us to understand about the idea of being lost sheep. And the reason that we need to understand this is because for sheep to understand these kind of things, they need to know where they are, because if they don't, their lives will be in very, very big danger. And their lives may get cut shorter a lot earlier than they had expected. And so that's where we're going to start today. You know, if you guys want to follow along with me in Luke 15, verses 4 through 7, it's on your notes. It says, "Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? When found, you can be sure you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing, and then got home and call in all your friends and neighbors, saying, 'Celebrate with me, I found my lost sheep.' Count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescue life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue." You know, when Jesus talks about this verse, he's addressing a bunch of religious people. You know, and if you know anything about the Bible, when Jesus came, there was a lot of religious people already established on this earth. They were called Pharisees. And the problem with the Pharisees was not their knowledge of the Bible, it was their application of the Bible. They spent a lot of time, you know, reciting verses and calling people out and condemning and doing A, B, and C, but their lifestyles didn't really match up with what Jesus wanted them to see. So that's why Jesus came, to show the righteous how they should be living. And this is once again an opportunity for him to teach the righteous, saying, hey, you know, it's not about always about the rules. It's not always about the rituals of things, but there are things that we need to remember to do as human beings to one another. And at a point, you know, when you look at these Pharisees, some of them have probably forgotten that they were at once a sheep, that they are at once lost. And Jesus is coming to them and trying to get them to understand that, hey, there's still things that you need to do. And our goal with this sermon series is to really just bring God into Christmas. You know, we designed this right around Christmas, and we talked about it being Christmas reimagined, right? And when I think about God and I think about what would make him proud around Christmas time, you know, I don't think that it's getting all the presents on Black Friday, right? Getting everything that you needed. Or making sure that your tree was, if you get a real tree like I did, that it's up perfectly straight, you know, because our daughter Mila, she grabbed an ornament and the whole tree fell on her. And yeah, I got tough kids, you know, I'm all right. It fell on her, and then I get home and, you know, my wife had put it back up, and she's like, I can't get it back in there. And so like the tree's like leaning on the wall, and I had to like reposition it and everything. And I think I just bought a bad tree this year. I don't know, but it's all awkward and things like that. But I spent a lot of time on that. I don't think those are the things that excite God at Christmas time. I don't think that he cares about the decoration. I don't think he cares about the lights. I don't think he cares about how we choose to do our traditions that we've always done on earth. What I do think excites him, and what the Bible says excites God, is when lost people are found. You know, that's what God wants to see. He gets excited, and it says that he throws celebrations. He says, "Celebrate with me, I found my lost sheep." You know, we throw celebrations for the silly stuff, but God's like, this is what excites me. This is what I want you guys to be doing, especially during Christmas time. And that's what we really want to focus on and really reimagine, is to bring God into the Christmas season this year. And so when we look at these truths that we talked about, we're going to start off by talking about a couple truths about sheep. And like I said, you know, truth number one is that sheep are usually lost, or they get lost due to their weakness, right? And it says in Matthew 18:12, it says, think of it this way. If a man owns 100 sheep and one lamb wanders away, it's lost. And, you know, you look in the Bible, and we talk about in Luke 15, there's different parables of different kinds of lost things. And you see the prodigal son. If you guys know anything about the prodigal son, he's somebody who looked at his dad and says, hey, dad, I want half my inheritance now. Like, I want to get out of here. And he was mouthing off back to his dad, and he was saying a lot of things. Well, you're never going to see a sheep do that, right? You're never going to see a sheep stomp its feet, or whatever those things are called. They don't have feet. They stomp whatever they got, right? And they're going to just be stomping off. They're going to get mad. They're going to come up and talk to you. They're just going to be like, I don't like the way we're doing stuff. I don't like A, B, and C. I don't like how you do things. I want to do things my way. You're never going to see a sheep do that, because it's not the nature of a sheep. It's not what a sheep would usually do. The verse says that sheep just wander away. It's in their nature to just wander, not to get upset, not to look into things, not to dig, not to be rebellious, but they just lurk off. And so we need to understand that the sheep is a little bit different than the other lost items, because sheep wander away due to their own weakness, you know? And we have consequences as well. And, you know, when I grew up, I always thought consequences were bad things, right? That it was always a bad thing, because usually when I had consequences, I was in trouble. You know, that's just how you view the word consequences. When you guys up here, the younger kids, when you hear the word consequence, you think it's a good thing or a bad thing, because you're all little troublemakers, right? And see, that's just how it is. When you hear the word consequence, you just think that it's a negative term, but it's really not. It's just the effects of what's going on in the time. You know, so when we use the word consequently, we're just talking about these are just the effects. It doesn't mean that there was a negative connotation with it. It just means that this is the effect of what's going on. And with sheep, when they get lost due to their weakness, consequently, sheep are vulnerable and in danger. Sheep don't make wise decisions. If you've ever seen a video of a sheep, and I caught myself watching a lot of YouTube videos this week of sheep, which is so weird, but I had to know about sheep. I know I had to study sheep, and I never thought whenever I was in high school that that's what I'd be talking about when I was 28 years old, is that I had studied sheep this week, you know, and their patterns and behaviors. But no, when you look at sheep, they're not the brightest, you know. They don't make the most educated decisions. Usually sheep are vulnerable and in danger because they don't make wise decisions. Because to have wisdom, you don't only need to know what to do, but you need to have the capacity and the ability to practically act it out on your life. And with sheep, they usually don't have that, right? When you look at animals and you look at things, they usually don't have, you don't think that they have thought process, that they're like, all right, here's the cause and here's the effect and here's the actions and here's the reactions. Usually with sheep, it's just whatever's in front of them, that's what they're going to go for, right? When they wander off, it's because that's what they see in front of them. When they get lost, it's because they look around and they don't see anyone else. And due to that, they put themselves in very vulnerable states that they can get in danger very, very fast because they choose to wander off like that. And at times, you know, when you look at sheep, sometimes they may not even realize that they're lost. Because a sheep's business from sun up to sundown is just to eat, right? It's just to kind of lurk. And so shepherds' jobs was to keep their sheep kind of in a circle or in a home, because what they would do is they would just eat and graze, and then they would lurk off and graze some more and graze and graze, and eventually they may get too close to a cliff or to the side of something, and they had no clue what they were doing because they were just doing life, and because of what they would just vision in front of them, and they didn't have wise decisions in their lives, they usually would find themselves in danger. So we need to understand first that sheep are lost because of their weakness, because of the capacities that they have in their life, all right? Truth number two, you and I are sheep. Yeah, you don't like that, do you? You know, you're all like, yeah, yeah, sheep are weak, man. Sheep don't know what they're doing. And then you're like, well, he just said, I'm a sheep, you know? I'm not saying you're a sheep, okay? Let's read this verse together. it says in Isaiah 53:6, it says, we're all like sheep. We're all like sheep who wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. And it's really important to understand that, yeah, I'm going to call you a sheep because God calls us sheep. He's saying the same exact things apply to us. He's saying that there's so many times that we just look at what's in front of us and we choose to wander off. Sometimes we may not even realize where we're going until we get there and we're like, how did my life get here? You know, how did I get in this place today? How did I get in this lonely state? How did my marriage get to where it's at today? How do my kids get to where they're at today? Because so many times we want to deny that we're sheep and that we're not weak-willed and we know how to live life. We know how to do things. And then we look back on our life like a sheep would get to that cliff and look back and say, how the heck did I get over here? And we get in this panic mode. And we have to understand that we're sheep. We have to understand that we're just like these sheep, and just like their behaviors, these are the same kind of things that will pop up in our lives without God, that we'll be in the same kind of places. And once again, consequently, if you and I are sheep, then consequently, you and I are vulnerable and we're in danger. And we have to have that mindset that it's not we can handle it, but we need a shepherd too. But so many times we don't want to acknowledge that, right? We have that human pride to say, hey, I can do this, right? I got this. You know, there's no such thing as a tough sheep, right? Or a tough lamb. You don't see anybody be like, hey, what are you? You know, you don't see a lot of high school mascots called the lambs, right? You know? I'm an eagle, or you know, I'm a falcon or whatever. I'm a lamb, you know, like I'm gonna mess you up, you know? You don't see that a lot. You don't see it because when you think of sheep, you don't think of dominance. You don't think of strength. You don't think of wisdom. You think of the complete opposite. And so many times we have that thing. We want to deny it if we want to. You know, deny it all. Deny it all day if you want. But until you embrace it, you're never really going to have that power. You're really not going to really understand how to live your life until you can acknowledge that you're a sheep. Because the more you live in denial, the more pain you're going to do to yourself. You know? The more you're going to hurt yourself and the more you're going to wander off because you don't understand the kind of things that God has in store for you. So, you know, sheep are lost due to weakness. And then we have to understand that we're those sheep. And then truth number three is that lost sheep require help to be found. You know, when a sheep wanders off, it's not going to find its way back by itself. That's what shepherds are for. You know, in Luke 15, 4 through 5, it says, one of you has 100 sheep, but one of them gets lost. What will you do? You'll leave the other 99 in the field and go out and look for that lost sheep. You'll continue to search for it until you find it. And when you find it, you'll carry it. You see, sheep can't find home alone. They can't find their way back alone. And it's kind of cool that it says, at the very end there, it says, you will carry it, you know? And when I think about sheep and I think about shepherds that have to go out and find that lost one, usually, more times than not, they've gotten themselves in a situation where they're stuck or they're hurt. And it's cool that he put in that verse that says you'll carry it, you know, because it helps us remind each other that you're going to need help, but you're not just going to be able to, like, shine a light and say, hey, here's the church, you know, if you want some help, you know, we're here. We're here for you, you know, and that's what so many churches do today. They don't want to go out and they don't want to find the hurt people. They want to sit around and flick a light and say, hey, we're on Sundays at 10 a.m. if you want to be here. But that's not going to get the sheep home. A shepherd doesn't just whistle and call them back. He goes and gets them. You know, if you think about those shepherd sticks and they always had the hook on the end, that was to help get the sheep. That was to help ring them in. It was help get them out of those dangerous situations or to pull them in and guide them back where they need to be. And the same thing that we need to do as a church. You know, praying is great. You know, hoping is great. But the Bible says that's not what's going to get people found. It's going out and finding those people. It's going out and getting to the streets. It's going out and getting back in your homes. It's going and finding your families. It's going to the college campuses and your high schools and things like that and saying, hey, here, I see you're hurt. I see that you're lost. I see that you need something. And not just, I'm going to pray for that. I'm going to pray for that situation. But let's, come on, you know, come with me. Let's go do this together. Let's go live life together. Let's go work on these things together. Let's be in relationship with each other. And once again, you know, we're never going to be found until we can start acting like Jesus. You know, if you go to church and you think that that's all you're going to need to do to find lost people, you're blinded too. You have to live that out in your life as well. We all have to live that out. It's very hypocritical for me to sit up here and say a lot of things and then go home and be completely different to my wife and my kids. Because the things that God wants us to be to lost people is the things that we need to be ourselves. And so we have to get help. consequently here as well. If we require help, that means we need a safe person. We need somebody that's going to be able to help us. And, you know, I don't know everyone's story in here. There's lots of new faces today, which is really awesome to see. I don't know everybody's story in here today. But I know each and every one of us have a safe person. And that safe person was Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus came, no matter your situations, no matter where you were, but he came to help. He came to find you, each and every one of you. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, it says, "We all like sheep who wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing and gone our own way. And God has piled all of our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him." I think there's a typo there. It says on him twice. And just looking at that, guys, and understanding that we have a safe person. We have that person that's willing and able to find us. And he didn't get sent because we've done so many good things. You know, Jesus wasn't sent because we're the best example of human beings, you know. But that should show how much love is behind Jesus Christ. It should show how much love is there for you. That in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of your sin, in the midst of the bad things going on in your life, in the midst of you wandering off, there was still somebody sent for each and every one of you saying, "I know you're lost, I know you're hurting, I know you messed up, but I'm here and I'm ready." And so we have to make sure that we understand that. You know, it says in John 10, verse 11, it says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, sacrifices himself if necessary." How cool of a picture is that? You know, to think that Jesus is willing, a shepherd's willing to put you above himself. But so many times, like I said, we want to get in that tough spot and we want to say that we can handle it and we want to puff our chests up and be the prideful sheep. We know what we're doing. And even in the midst of getting lost, sometimes we'll have that mindset of, "It'll be better next time. I'll learn from my mistakes. It'll be different next time. My next marriage will be better." You know, maybe I messed up with one of my kids. My next relationship, you know, the next kid coming up, I'll make sure that I really teach them right, you know. And looking at all these different things in our life, the next job will really set me up the way that I need to be. You know, it'll really establish me. And just looking at these things in our lives, and we've messed up multiple times. And to have that mindset of, "I'll just learn from my mistakes," that's not the way it works. That's not the way that the Bible says it works. God says we're weak and we're going to continue to be weak. You wouldn't expect the sheep, if you look at actual sheep, to once they get back in the herd, that they're never going to wander off again. They're not going to say, "Oh, I learned from that." No. They go right back out. And that's the same thing that we do in our human nature. We want to learn from our mistakes and say, "That's all I need to do is just learn from my mess-ups." But we find ourselves messing up time and time and time again. But we need that help. So first off, consequently, we need a safe person. But also, we need a safe place. You know, we need a safe place to be found. You know, and for us, that's the church. We need that safe place. And Jesus, like I said, Jesus' church is that place. It's a place to stay safe and to be found, and it's a place to help others get found. You know, it says in 1 Peter 5, 2 through 3, it says, "Care for the flock entrusted that God had, care for the flock of God entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord over the people assigned in your care, but lead them by your good example." You know, and this is talked to in a time where, you know, God's church is about to get persecuted. And just looking at this verse, it's good to understand, first off, that you're going to have leaders. You know, the church is supposed to entrust leaders in your life. Any good church is going to have leaders. It says, "Care for the flock God entrusted to you." So when you enter a church, it's not just this little flock like you would see out in the field, but there's leaders, there's shepherds that are going to watch over you, and they're going to care for you, and they're going to look out for you. And so when you think of it in that sense, a good church, you know, when the flock, the church, there are certain things that God's going to provide in a good church, you know? And one of those things is that you'll have leaders. And like I said, these are some things that we're gonna kind of walk through, but these are some things that a godly church should provide. And so many times I want to make sure that we don't get this miscommunication, but these are things that God's church will provide, not the kind of church that you want will provide. Because so many times we want to go to a church that provides our needs, right? That we'll go to a church that meets the things that we need. Maybe it has a very good sports after curriculum sports program, or maybe it's just the proximity to our house, or maybe it's just they're not too pushy about trying to get me in ministry, and they just kind of keep it surface of the church. Those are the things a lot of times that we want in a church, right? But that doesn't mean that's what God's church is meant to provide. And so I would encourage you, if you're going to a church or you're visiting churches or you're finding churches that don't provide these things, you better find one. Because if the church that you choose to go to, the churches that you've seen, don't provide the things that God is supposed to provide, then that's not a church of God in the first place. That's a church meant to please people. And more than not, just take your money. But these are some of the things that God's church is supposed to provide. The first one is somebody who cares for me. God's church is supposed to provide somebody who cares for me. And that means that there should be a deep love for the people in that church for one another. You know, that's one of the things I love about the Crossings Church is that it's a place of deep love. It's a place of deep care and concern. And when you come into the Crossings Church, sometimes it's a lot like a marriage, you know? When you first come in, the first few times you're around, or maybe if you're in student ministry, you know, we do things called cross chats. It's like a big house party. And it's really exciting at first, kind of like a marriage. When you guys first get married, like there's that honeymoon phase and it's super exciting. You love everything that's going on. And then there's like that, it kind of falls off a little bit, right? And the fighting begins and you start living together and you start realizing that this is not like living in a single house anymore. And you have all these different things that go on. Same thing happens in the church here, you know? It's exciting because, like, you get to live your life, and then you get exposed to a church, and they're all exciting, you guys. And then you jump in the church, and you join the church, and they're like, all right, well, this is what the Bible says about your lifestyle. And you're like, wait, I gotta change some things around in my life, you know? And you start to conflict personalities. But that's why I love the Crossings Church, because for anyone who's been married a long time, you start to understand that your marriage gets better with time, doesn't it? You know? Whenever you guys get to those phases, that exciting phase, yeah, that's great. But what makes a marriage awesome is to get to see the love and the care through those hard times and to be able to say to one another, you know, like, it was great whenever we first got married, but it's so much better now because of how much time we've invested, how many hardships we've been through, and yet we've loved each other through this. And that's what's so awesome about the Crossings Church is it's better with time, you know? The longer you hear, the better it is. It's so awesome to feel that and to see that. And sometimes we think of that care as like the notebook, right? It's the lovey-gushy care that you're like, oh man, it's always so pleasant and nothing, anything wrong. When I hear the word care, I always think about positive and, you know, Care Bears, right? Yeah, if you've ever seen that, cartoon, like, there's nothing negative in that show, man. It's like bears everywhere and rainbows and lollipops. Like, you don't see anything bad in that show, right? I got two daughters, so I watch a lot of little kid shows. I know a lot of stuff now, guys. A lot of stuff I wish I didn't know. But yeah, there's so much care that's going on. But sometimes that care doesn't come out in a positive light or in the light that you'd want it to. Like I said, I got two girls, and I care about them deeply. But when they get themselves in a situation where they're in trouble or they're showing bad attitudes or bad things, you best believe I'm going to bust their butt or that I'm going to get in their face and I'm going to yell at them. And in that moment, my little two-year-old daughter does not understand that that's what care looks like or that's what care means. But one day she's going to get older, and she's going to be a respectable human being, and she's going to look back at the way that her parents treat her, and she says, I'm going to thank you for the way that you treated me one day. I'm going to thank you for the ways that you raised me, because even though it wasn't pleasant in the time, it showed true love. It showed care. For me to not care about my kids would be to let them do whatever they wanted to do and let them walk over me. And that's what God's church should provide. It should provide the same kind of people in your life that aren't just going to let you do. The church is never meant to be enablers. It's never meant to be a place where you can go and you're accepted for who you are and nothing in your life is ever going to get challenged and that you're never going to be asked to do anything greater or better than yourselves. The church is meant to be a place where you invite people into your life and you let them care for you and you let them say things to you and you accept those kind of things and you reflect on those kind of things and you see what's best for your life because those people love you. That's what the church is supposed to provide. Not only supposed to provide some people who care, but it's also provide somebody to watch out for you. That's that shepherds that I was talking about. You know? But once again, we get in that mindset of like, I'm a 28-year-old sheep, man. Like, I don't need anybody anymore. Like, I ain't a baby no more. Like, I can walk. I can, you know, I've been around this block quite a few times, right? And that's the mindset that we get in is like, I don't need a babysitter anymore. I don't need these kind of people in my life. Well, it says that we need somebody to watch out for me because, you know, we buy into that lie that the older we get, the more mature we are. That's not true, right? I'm older than you, so I'm smarter than you. You know, like, you're 2 years older than me, man. Like, you know, you can say it however you want to, but we buy into that lie that since we're older, we're mature. You know, that's not how it works because to gain maturity means that you have knowledge and application. And for somebody who maybe has joined the church, you know, a year ago versus somebody who's joined the church 10 years ago, you know, there's still age that does play into that. But whenever it comes to God's wisdom, how long have you been applying God's word into your life? How long have you been wise in the scriptures, learning the scriptures and applying those things into your life? Because that's the kind of wisdom that you need in your life. And for a lot of you, I would assume, just like me, I don't have a lot of wisdom in the scriptures. Even though I'm standing up here, I'll be humble enough to say, I don't know a lot about the Bible yet. You know, and I've been in ministry for 10 years. I'm still learning. There's still things I'm reading every day that I'm like, what? Or there's still podcasts of people that I'm listening to. I'm like, that is thought-provoking. I've never heard it in that light before. There's just so many things that I still continue to read in the scriptures that I'm like, what? But the cool thing is that there's people in my life as well that are more mature than me. That there's people in my life, there are shepherds in my life that look over me. You know, the Crossings Church, this isn't just the only Crossings Church. We actually have two other Crossings Churches. And we have one in St. Louis that we planted 2 years ago, and we have our kind of like our home church in Winslow, Missouri that was established about 13 or 14 years ago. And all three of our churches, probably on a Sunday, we probably range around, you know, 800, 900 people or so on a given Sunday morning. But the cool thing is that being sent out on a church plant like this was kind of scary, you know, because to think, you know, our core leadership, there's only eight of us or so in this leadership. And if you talk to any of them, we have no clue what we're doing over here. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know why I'm on stage right now. You know, I don't even have a stage. I'm kind of on the same level. Like, there is no stage. They just threw me up here and said, hey, read some of the Bible stuff. You know, that's kind of where I'm at right now. But the cool thing is that I didn't get sent over here blindly because I still have people watching out for me at those other churches. You know, if anybody knows Robert Cox and Carrie Cox, those are some of my mentors. Those are people that I still meet with weekly. Carrie, I almost call daily, and we talk about things. You know, I work in the campus ministry. I'm like, hey, here's a situation. How should I handle this? Hey, here's something going on with my wife. Like, how should we handle this in the best way? I still have people to watch out for me, even though I've become more mature. And that's what we need. But so many times, we get prideful and we puff up our chest, and we don't want that. We don't want people looking out for us. But in reality, you should want somebody to look out for you. And in a relationship with God, you should be thanking those people who are choosing to look out for you. Instead of resisting and fighting and disagreeing, you should be thanking those people that God has shepherded over you and invite them to watch you closely. You know, that's what we need in our lives. We need people that we should be thanking in our lives, but also to invite them in and kind of do those kind of things. But like I said, our normal reaction is to get defensive and you know, just hurt ourselves even more. You know, like a sheep resisting whenever that shepherd's kind of got his cane over him, and if he's fighting back more and more, like he's just hurting himself. And that's so many times what we do when it comes to leadership, or it comes to authority, or it comes to somebody speaking in our lives. You're like, you better step back, or I'm gonna hurt myself more than I am right now. Like you know, you start fighting back, and it's not gonna do any good for you. We get in that state where we just want to get prideful and just stay out of my life, stay at a surface level. Don't do these kind of things. I'm going to hurt myself more. Get out of my life. And if you look in the Bible, that's anti-biblical. And it's not practical. There's no benefit in that. When God has entrusted shepherds, when it says, care for the flock of God, he entrusted that to shepherds. And us shepherds, if you're a leader, you know, you better take that seriously. You better look over those people. But as a sheep, don't make it harder on yourself. You know? Let those shepherds walk into your life. Let them walk with you. Let them care for you. Let them watch out for you. Because it's a blessing, not a nuisance. So get your mind right. Make sure that your mind's right on how you choose to approach the people who really want to look out for you. And then lastly, somebody to walk ahead of me. You know, you need somebody to walk ahead of you. Just like a shepherd would, you know, just thinking about a flock with a shepherd, you want somebody that walks ahead of you, you know. Shepherds don't let the sheep check out the trail, you know, like, they're not like, let's go see if there's any wolves up there. Go ahead, sheep, go check it out, you know. Like, that's not how it works, you know. Shepherds step out first. They take the hits, they take the blows, they take the persecutions. They make sure the path is safe and clear for you to follow along. And how, to hear it in that light, it's almost like, why would I want to resist? You know, why would I want to resist somebody who's willing to do all of that for me, that's really wanting to care for me, that they want to watch out for me, but also they're going to lead me and they're going to make sure that they know what's ahead of me, that they're going to be able to see the bad things before I can, but also they're going to be able to direct me in the good ways as well. I should want those kind of things. And these are the kind of things that encompass a good church. And I really, you know, that's one of the things that I admire about the Crossing, is because I feel like that we have really planted on this idea that we are very relational. We want to make sure that we care, we look out, and we guide. And the coolest thing about a church and about this idea is that, like I said, we're all sheep, but the Bible also wants us to be shepherds as well. So we have this dynamic that we all are sheep, but at the same time, we are shepherds. We're all called to go out and find the lost sheep, which means that you would be a shepherd as well. So there is this really cool thought that, you know, you need to think about, yeah, I am a sheep, and I do need people to look out for me. I do need a shepherd. But then at the same time, you've matured to the point where you are a shepherd as well, and you're supposed to go out back into the world. That's a cool thought to know that this is really what God wants us to do with our lives. And so today we're going to close on just, you know, three personal commitments to be and to stay found as sheep. And the first commitment is that I need to commit to learn about Jesus. You know, Luke 15, when you look at that verse in Luke 15, the Pharisees probably knew more about the Bible than anyone else on earth, but they look less like God than anyone else on earth. You know? And that's because of the way that they chose to view it. They thought the end result of knowledge was knowledge. You know, they thought all they needed to know was know the Bible. But when you look at the way that Jesus views it, he says that the end result of knowledge is faith. You know, because faith, people follow after faith. When you have faith, you choose to follow. But you're not going to follow somebody who you don't trust, right? Sheep won't follow a shepherd if they don't trust them. They're going to run away, they'll get skittish and do things like that. And just like us, we need to know that what we're walking into is something that we trust. It says John 10, 14 and 15, it says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And I lay down my life for my sheep. And once again, in Matthew 11, 29, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Right? It talks about the yoke there. And, you know, that's not like an egg yoke. It's talking about a yoke that they would usually put on two cattle or things like that. And they would try to keep them together at the same strength and the same power because, you know, when you pull plows and things like that, if one's stronger than another, one's resisting, it's really going to mess up the way that you guys choose to harvest or to do the farming and things like that. In the same time, when it says in Matthew, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, it's saying, hey, you know, partner up with me and let's do this together. But once again, if you're attached to that yoke and you're resisting, it's just like that sheep. You're just going to hurt yourself. And the more that we don't choose to learn about Jesus and we choose to fight it and do our own thing, once again, it's like that yoke. We're going to hurt ourselves even more. And it's just going to end in pain and exhaustion. To fight against God is just to have pain and exhaustion in our lives. And so we have to learn about Jesus. Commitment two, we have to commit to listen to Jesus. We've got to do what he says. You know, it says John 10, 27, it says, my sheep listen to my voice and they follow me. You know, we have to be able to not just listen, but act as well. You know, that's what the Bible's trying to really get us to understand. And what Jesus wants us to understand is, as a shepherd, yeah, we can say whatever we want to say, but we have to follow that as well. You know, how many of you guys have ever had to train a dog from ground up, right? And you think about, dogs that don't listen, right? And they don't obey. Do you think that those dogs still hear the same thing? Of course they do. It's the same sound coming out of your mouth. But with one, there's a response, and one, there's not, right? One's getting the treats, and one's getting beat and kicked into going in the backyard, right? You're not listening and getting frustrated, doing all these different things. But as they learn, and as they spend time, and as they invest, and as they trust you, and as they can see that that's something they want to do, when you speak, they do. And that's the same way that God is asking us to do. He says, trust me first. First, you got to find and trust me. You got to understand I really do love you, and I really do care about you. And once you understand that, start listening. And once you see that these are things that I'm trying to get you to do, just do them. And then the blessings will start flowing out. We have to not just be able to listen, but we have to be able to do it as well. And that last commitment, commitment number three, is I had to commit to link up with other sheep. You know, Hebrews 12:15, it says, look after each other so that none of you will miss out on the special favor of God. And in Hebrews, these people were being threatened. The people here is being threatened by being pulled away in different directions and things like that. And he comes in and talks to them about these kind of things. And he says, link up after each other, or look after each other so that you guys won't miss out on these kind of things. And when you look in Hebrews, the cure to what's going on in the book of Hebrews is not a closer relationship to God. In the book of Hebrews, what's curing what's going on in this time right now is not to get closer to God, but it's a closer connection with God's people. If you look at Hebrews 4 and Hebrews 12, it really does focus on those kind of thoughts. It says, hey, it's not always about just saying, hey, it's between me and God, and that's what's going to fix the situation. There are times when you look in the Bible and it says you need God's people to fix problems in your life. You can't just rely on God and say, hey, I'm giving this to God. Hey, I trust God. Hey, I love God. That's not always going to get it done, because God entrusted people in your life as well to help you through those paths. And God wants you to have people in your life. But that's the struggle, right? To have this thought, man, I've been a Christian my whole life. Or, man, I've been a Christian for a long time. But I've never let people in my life before. You know? My challenge to you is, how Christ-like have you really been then, according to the Scriptures? You know? If you've always said that your relationship with God is a divine vertical relationship straight up, when you look in the Bible, that's the complete opposite of what God says. That's what the Pharisees were trying to do. But what God wants us to understand is God has supplied this earth with people as well. And he's saying, if you really want to get closer to me, get closer to my people. Spend time with my people. Get wisdom from my people. Let shepherds come into your life and talk to you. And so are you guys connected to people, God's people, in a way that's going to help you and help others? So, you know, today I just want to close out by, you know, it's scary to be a sheep, right? It's scary. It's a scary thought. You guys probably didn't come to church today thinking you're going to get called sheep and then walk out thinking like that, right? But it's scary for me to acknowledge that I'm a sheep. And if you're not afraid of that, that just shows how vulnerable and dangerous you really are in. You know, if you're not afraid of that thought, to know that you're a sheep, man, it just shows where you really are in life right now. But when you look in Luke 2, you look at the birth of Jesus, it's cool to see that the shepherds went to go see Jesus, right? But in Luke 2, it says that whenever the shepherds saw the vision from the angels, that they were terrified, you know? To have this idea that shepherds are just like sheep, that they were terrified. But then he says to not be afraid, you know? And that's what I want to kind of leave you guys with today, is just like these shepherds who were terrified to go see Jesus, you have no reason to have to fear anymore, you know? As a sheep, you don't have to live in fear. You just need to acknowledge that that's where you're at and choose to get the help that you need to get. And when you can acknowledge it and let the shepherd come in and protect you and love you the way that you meant to be loved, the way that God intended you to be loved, incredible things will happen in your life. Transformational things. Marriages to be restored. Kids, relationships with kids to be restored. Financial situations get restored. Disciplines, things like that. You'll see incredible transformational things when you choose to acknowledge that you're weak and you can't do it on your own and you need God's help. It worked for me. And I'm so grateful that God had done that in my life as well. If you guys want to pull out in your worship bulletin, there's a cardstock piece of paper that says we're the problems of life, meet the power of God. This is our communication card. This is a way for us to get in contact with you guys, but also for you guys just to give a response. You know, if there's anything that we talked about today, like I said, you know, as a sheep, we need God's people in our life. We need community. We need relationships. And if that's something that you want to invest in, if that's something that you want to check out in, we're a church full of ministries that really services the community. And so, you know, if you're in high school, you're junior high, we have ministries for those. If you're in college, we have a campus ministry. It's great because I love it, you know. I'm impartial to it because that's the ministry that I work in, but it's pretty awesome, right? You know, that doesn't just end once you're out of school. You know, we have adult ministries as well. We have small group connections with our young adults, with our older adults, with you old sheep. You know, like we have lots of opportunities because, like I said, we're a church that cares. But to be a church that cares means that you spend a lot of time outside of church together. You know, if you come to church and you think that's all the community you need, you know, the Bible says that you're just kind of entertaining yourself. You know, it's not really a show to God. It's really a show in itself. You know. But to be a part of community and relationships connections is to be a part of God's church, not just on Sunday mornings, but through life. And this is your opportunity to respond to that. You know, if you want to know more about small groups, you know, we meet in small groups throughout the week. You know, check that. I'd like to know more about small groups. You know, if you really want to get into that word and figure out how to listen to Jesus, how to figure out what the shepherd has done in your life, you know, check that you'd like to have a Bible study. And we'll be able to look at the word with you or things like that. This is probably one of the largest crowds we've had at the Crossing since we've been here. So, you know, for some of the people who came on this plant, you know, there's a deep feeling of that God has really led us in the right direction to see a room like this. You know, it's very cool to see. But once again, as a sheep, you know, as a shepherd, I can only do so much, but as a sheep, we have to be willing as well. And so I really hope that you guys will take this seriously and just take a minute to fill this out, and we'll get in contact with you. We'll help you get guys connected, and we want to invite you back. You know, if you're just seeking things out for the first time, I just encourage you, just check out the series. Just finish the series out with us through Christmas. You know, we have a few more weeks of this. Just come back for the next few weeks and just kind of see what God can do in your life. We have some invites as well in your guys' bulletins, and I'd encourage you, you know, if there's anybody that you know, if there's any sheep in your life that you look at and you're like, they are lost, they're hurting, you know, talk to them, invite them. This is a great opportunity to get some people connected in a way that they never have. The holidays are always usually hit close to home, and I pray that you guys will take this opportunity to bring Christmas into your hearts and into your families the way that God wanted you to, not the way that the world wants you to. Okay? I'm going to say a prayer, and then the worship team is going to come on up. Okay? God, I just want to thank you so much. You know, for me to finally understand that I am a sheep, that I am weak, and that sometimes I just want to view what's right in front of me. There's been so much time in my life that I would just choose to not acknowledge that and do my own thing, and then I look at where I was at years down the road and say, how did I even get here? But I'm just grateful that you've given me the awareness to understand that I am who I am because of the nature of who I am, and that I need your help to get me out of that. And I've been so blessed to know that, I have a loving wife and I have two kids, and I couldn't be more grateful for what you've blessed me with in my life, God. And I just pray that the people in this room can acknowledge that as well, that we can all acknowledge that we're sheep and that we've gone astray at times. But we're never going to find that way back home by ourselves, God. We need you, and we need your people. So I pray for what we have going on for the rest of the day, for the rest of the week, and through this holiday season, God, that we can just really focus on the idea that we need to be found, and we need a community to stay found, and that we need to help others be found as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.